Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. I'm Phil Vacchio.
Hello, Phil Vacchio.
Good morning, Dave.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us, maybe Jane Marie, maybe sprinkle in a non-attorney and Kim, are here every weekend talking to you guys about estate planning and elder law, everything from the basics, wills, powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, to the not-so-basics, different kinds of trusts, long-term care. It's a jungle out there. It's a call-in show, in theory. I say in theory every time because it's been... Call
it's not
us
a theory.
For some time.
I mean, the phone is open and ready.
It's open. It just doesn't ring, John.
Yeah, well.
And that's okay. I mean, we have lots to talk about
sure.
every week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, part of this is we like helping you guys. And
like, mm-hmm. We like the interaction, too. Of
yeah,
course.
Absolutely.
But
oh,
if
yeah.
you don't want to talk to us, then we don't want to talk to you, and that's fine.
It's the same thing as some of our, the presentations we do, Dave. I always encourage the audience to participate. Sometimes
yeah, okay.
they participate too much.
Hold on, yeah. Let's come back to that for a second. 518-476-5900 if you'd like to talk to us this morning. 518-465-7581 if you wanted to talk to one of us in one of our four offices, Albany, Saratoga, up in Queensbury, down in Kingston, everywhere in between, Zooms, phone calls, whatever.
Yeah.
We do it all.
Sometimes house visits. I was out in Valencia yesterday afternoon.
Valencia. Nice.
Which I,
Columbia County.
Took me a while to learn.
Columbia County, yes.
I would call it Valati for forever.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know where Valati
actually
comes
know,
from.
Phil,
how do you pronounce it that way? It's not
Phil,
spelled that way.
There's a lot of words you don't pronounce the right way.
Untrue, Dave.
Well, Exhibit A, well, I won't break it up, but there's a couple words,
I know
a couple
where you're
towns.
Going.
Uh-oh.
I know where you're
just,
going.
But you're also...
There are some towns. You're right, Dave.
Yeah, and I used to be in the same... Look, yeah. I'm talking
yeah,
as someone
yeah.
who,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know, anyway.
How about Queemans, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Queemans?
A lot of people say Queemans.
Or Queemans?
If they don't know what it is, but
yeah.
it's Queemans. Yeah.
I try to avoid Queemans, that one.
It's a tough one.
It's like if I don't know someone's name, I'm like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, right.
Just mumble
yeah.
it. Yeah.
yeah. well, Phil, so you have a presentation coming. I mean, it's not for a little bit, right? A couple weeks from now.
But there's a lot of stuff in between, so
yeah.
maybe put it on people's radar.
Yeah, when is it?
It is January 15th, I believe.
You have a very nice photo in the flyer.
It is. I have a flyer. And
he's got
spreading around.
Flyers everywhere.
Oh, my photo itself. Oh, thank you, Dave.
You got your own flyer?
Yeah.
He's got a flyer.
Yeah,
he's been
flyer.
Putting it up.
You know,
yeah. We put it right next
wow.
to if you want guitar lessons, and then it's if you want to...
I don't do guitar lessons.
All right. Yeah.
Do you ever, in the city, do you remember those? It would be like you take the tab of the number.
Yeah, there's like 15 at the bottom. Yeah. You rip it. Yeah. yeah. But they still exist. I've seen that.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying with some, you know, we like callers. Here we want any call. That's great.
Yeah.
But in presentations, it's got to be nice general questions because if it starts talking about their aunt's mother's, you know, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Well, that's kind of where I was
personal.
Going. Sometimes it gets either polar opposites, no questions at all, you know, no interaction, or one or two people that just raise their hands and ask the craziest, you know, most specific detailed questions, and you got
to.
It
tends to be the same person that
yep.
does like the three question,
exactly,
which is fine.
Yeah,
I woke up, Phil. I'm in a wonderful mood. Not every day am I in a wonderful mood. Everyone is aware.
Is
there a reason?
The holiday season.
I woke up super, super, kind of grateful
yeah.
for everything.
Everything.
I mean, obviously,
yeah.
health and family and all that
sure.
goes without saying.
Sure.
And we're nothing without those two things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
In terms of, John, in terms of like work, in terms of what I get to do every day,
mm-hmm.
I legitimately
I know you love,
love
it.
All
it.
Like
yeah.
legitimate. It's not an act or anything.
Right.
And you
yeah.
know how lucky we are, Phil, that this is what we do?
I fully concur, Dave. And we're in the home stretch here before, you know, the end of the year. And when we self-reflect sometimes and look back over the past year, it was great. A lot to be thankful for this year. Professionally,
yeah.
financially.
And I don't know how to
family-wise.
Put it into exact words, but I think that the fact that what we do in the type of law we practice, the kinds of clients that we help
yeah.
and meet with, there aren't lots of opponents. We're
no.
not the bad guy, or rarely are we the bad guy. Normally we're the people who are helping make something bad better.
It's not often adversarial, like some areas of laws,
yeah.
which you know, me personally, I don't know about you, I don't know if I would enjoy as much that area. And some people love it, and that's for them. But this area is a little bit different. I agree with you. Like, you know, I was, I think I said this before, but I was a psychology major.
Here we go on the whole psychology major thing.
Oh,
here
stop.
Here we go.
Wow.
Stop. Yeah, it, no, dude. We're just going to lie on the couch and you can...
But that's kind of what it is sometimes. Cool. I mean, my clients aren't,
you guys do.
They're not lying down on the couch, but, you know, we're having a session where we're talking about really deep stuff and issues. And
we are probably asked more than any other kind of attorney. We're asked advice on things that have nothing to do with the literal law that we're helping them with.
But you know why? Because you guys are giving advice anyway, and that's... One thing leads to another.
I think it's also because...
And people like your advice.
It's a conversation.
But we meet with a lot of... it's not the first time we're hearing that a family doesn't get along that there's a child that has some extra needs or a son-in-law we really don't like. Like, we've heard all that.
Yeah, hey, we've seen this story before. Yeah. We've seen how this could play out, and, you know, we use that experience.
But, you know, a couple weeks ago when we were on, I talked about a client... That existing client, right? And she needs to do some change. She was so concerned about whether she's making the right move and really wanted to know my opinion on it.
Yeah.
But there's other stuff, you know, it's like, what should I do with my money? Should I invest it this way? I'm like, oh my God, not me. I mean, buy low, sell high is the only advice I have.
Well, you become a trusted person in that person's life. And
that's right.
Obviously, we have other individuals we work with that we can connect, you know, in situations like that. You know, I'm not a financial advisor, but we have people we know and, you know.
The other reason I really love what we do is because literally every appointment's different. Every day is totally different. I mean, I was telling you a second ago, yesterday's appointments, none were the same.
Yeah.
I had everything from like estate tax issues to, you know, mom fell is in rehab. Now what are we going to do? And a wait and see to a basic will to, you know, I don't often do revocable trusts. If I'm in the world of trust, I typically am nudging clients towards like the asset protection type.
Yeah.
I had a couple clients where they truly need revocable trust. They don't need the long-term care protection. And the fact that there's that, you know, difference in appointments over and over and over, and the constant is I get to meet new people and learn about them. That, for me, for my personality, that is like... I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this.
So you got a nice smattering of topics over the past few days.
Yeah. And one of them was a Zoom where, you know, I did my normal, you know, explanation of how our world works and you know, long-term care and probate and this and that. And wonderful, fine. And then she said, I have a bunch of questions for you. I said, sure. And it was almost like I was being interviewed.
Oh, so like a more of a... personal level, like about you?
No. Well, a little bit about me, like where I was from, because I normally want to know where'd you grow up and how'd you meet your spouse and all that. And it was more of like, do you like what you do?
Hmm.
And I said, yeah, no, I love it. And you're like, why? And I had to get into it, kind of like we're doing now.
Yeah.
And it was really about the getting to know people part. Like, I feel like we live lots of lives, you know, so we kind of learn lessons. In general,
I actually love the consultations that go that way, because I have that happen every now and again where the client, like you said, it's almost of an interview, because maybe they're seeing multiple attorneys or they want to make sure they like who they're working with. And
well, it's a relationship. They want to know. It's not a one and done, too.
It is. And, it, you know, it, a lot of what we do is transactional on its face. But the idea is we're going to become a part of that family, that person's life, and be there for them in the future for whatever happens. And I think that's important for clients to be comfortable and like who they're going to be working with, obviously.
Yeah. And you know, the best of the situations oftentimes are that first meeting and everything's downhill from there in terms of like the long-term care needs are coming down the road.
They're going to
get older down the road. They're going to lose loved ones down the road. So sometimes we're seeing them at their best and they want, you know, it's like dating. They want to make sure they like the person they're going to be spending a lot of time with.
Yeah. It's funny. One of my clients the other day, we were talking about some more negative topics, right? I think it was a second marriage, and one of the daughters of the wife was estranged, and talking about going into a little more about all the things that she did to her mother in the past and why, you know, they like to vent and I like to listen. And at the end, she's like, you must hear so many terrible things. And how do you do it every day? And, you know, does it wear on you? And I was like, actually, no, like
it looks like it wears on you, Phil. Like,
thanks.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah. But where I went with that was I said, you know, obviously I don't want to hear that people are having negative things happen in their life, but A, I get to be there to help. B, I get to hear everyone's different stories and what's going on. And you know, it keeps it interesting and, you know, lets my my creative mind work a little bit too.
I have a bunch of different kinds of appointments from yesterday.
Okay.
And I don't even know how to do this. What do you want? You want, you know.
I'm going to pick based on
I don't know.
Topic area of Lobo. What?
Sure.
Just blindly?
Blindly.
Okay. Let's any probate type stuff in there? I picked the one topic you didn't talk about. Well,
yeah.
So you said revocable trust, right?
No, let's do probate. And
okay.
So this is that same woman who interviewed me, the Zoom. Okay. So the reason we got together initially as a reasoning, right? She wants to do her own plan, but the reason for her wanting to do her own plan so badly is because she has been dealing with hell for the estate of her sister.
So based on a personal experience.
Yeah.
And that's often the best way to learn, unfortunately.
So she, both her sister and herself were spouseless and childless, and her sister left everything to her. There's other siblings, but this sister that passed away left everything to our future client here.
Yeah, and that's already, I don't want to say a recipe for disaster, but when you hear that and you hear probate in a situation like that where the closest heirs are a little more extended,
yeah,
I can anticipate where you may be going with that.
Well, what you didn't anticipate is that she happened to own property in three different states.
Ah, even worse.
And property in the traditional sense in Florida, property in the non-traditional sense, which is, I think, mineral rights of some sort in Colorado.
Oh, so
I don't know what
really,
that means.
Yeah.
But all of it's coming to the client. And what she's been doing, and she was saying to me, it's been like a full-time job, this probate.
Yeah.
Because she's had to figure out, what am I going to do with things down in Florida? What am I going to do with something in Colorado? As you know, there's ancillary probates in each state. So that way there's jurisdiction and she has the power to act in Colorado.
Right. So the state here, the court in New York is not going to have jurisdiction over the property in Colorado, for example.
Right.
Right.
So there was a probate in Florida, is going an ancillary probate in Colorado. She is in New York and trying to figure all this out. And
it's likely not one attorney handling all those states. I would
be
hard pressed to find an attorney that's licensed. Maybe New York and Florida. Colorado's a little.
And hopefully, I couldn't get a sense of it, but hopefully the attorneys in the other states are not looking at this with dollar signs in their eyes, thinking, oh, she's got no choice now and she needs. Yeah. You know, jacks up fees and stuff, but it sounds like she's spending a lot of money and doing a lot of work. So she came in because she's like, look, when the dust settles on this stuff, I need a trust to make sure that things are nice and clean. And this is one of those where I think we're going to be doing a revocable trust, because in her fact pattern, in her life, she's not really concerned about long-term care.
Yep.
Right. She's thinking about giving to different charities and stuff like that. And obviously money is important, but she just wants to make life easy for whoever will be her.
Yeah, she doesn't have heirs or dependents that she's really concerned about, you know, protecting assets for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on one end, the ills of probate, it's been over a year. It's going to be some more time.
Yeah.
And on her end, she's going to try to make that easy for whoever is going to pick up the pieces one day for her. And so, you know, it's unfortunately a life lesson she has learned, which is, wills might be great. Wills may say, give everything to my sister, but wills do need to go through probate, not in one, not in two, but here, three different states.
Yeah, so a little bit of an extreme example, right? But even probate in the simplest of sense, if it was just one state, let's say, so say there were properties in Colorado and Florida didn't exist, it was just here in New York, if it was the smoothest possible version of it, we're still dealing with it for about a year or so, right?
Yeah, and money.
And money, right. And then B, I don't know, you mentioned there's other siblings, you didn't go to say if they were causing any issues.
Yeah, no,
all right,
fine.
So that part of it ended up working out. But it doesn't always work out that way, Dave. If everything's going to one member of the class of closest living heirs, the other ones could get upset about that.
Yeah.
And could try to make a mess.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And I'm Phil Vacchio. We have some of Dave's favorite music playing in the background now.
It is Christmas time, you know. John,
it is.
This is amazing.
It's coming up quickly. 5 days out? Yeah.
It's quick. Yeah.
Were you a Charlie Brown Christmas
The actual
kid?
Special?
Yeah.
So it was like a love-hate thing. Like if you watch it now, it's actually incredibly boring for children. Like, have your kids ever watched it?
Well, I guess compared to what goes on today, but I mean, I saw it as a kid when it was brand new.
The voices in
it. When it was brand new, John Gabriel.
64,
you're dating yourself here.
I don't care. That's true.
So I love it.
71, there you go.
It's nostalgic, right? But like, if you watch it for the kids nowadays, the voices are very mute and monotone, and there's not, you know, flashing lights and stuff. So like, my kids can't get into it. I don't know if your kids can.
That's a shame.
I think it's my
grandkids are into it.
Are they?
Yeah, that might be saying more about kids these days than the actual program, because it's a, you know.
Listening to jazz music at a young age. Like, I really appreciate it now, and it's great, but maybe hard for a young individual to get into jazz.
Hmm.
The whole Great Pumpkin.
Just my opinion.
The Great Pumpkin stuff for, you know, Halloween and what, I never got into that kind of.
Just the Christmas
stuff. But the Christmas
stuff.
One. Yeah. Actually, you know, have you ever seen this? They do a version of this at, actually, it was at Proctor's not too long ago. They had Charlie Brown Christmas.
A live version of that?
Oh, that's right.
It was great.
Yeah.
And they had the real actors dancing like they dance.
Can you do the Charlie Brown dance? It's very specific.
I've seen film of that. It's funny.
Well, in the first half, Phil and I were shocker, by the way, no calls in the first 15 minutes of the show.
We're doing our best to encourage.
518-476-5900 if you feel like calling. And I will say, a big thank you to perhaps my most favorite clients, Irene, who's probably listening. Thank you for all the oranges, Irene. Every year.
Oh, nice.
Like clockwork.
Nice, yeah.
And
Florida?
I don't think.
No.
No?
No.
I don't know if they shared those oranges, though. I haven't seen any oranges.
No, don't worry about it. What oranges?
Here's your candy cane.
But to what we were talking about before, we build relationships with people.
Yeah.
You know, we meet with people over the years, and sometimes they look exactly the same and nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like Irene, she looks wonderful. And sometimes, you know, we see, oh my God, we need help coming into the room now.
Yeah.
And so on.
Yeah. And it's, you know, really unfortunate sometimes, but it's nice to be there to help the families through that we've worked with in the past.
So I was saying that I had a little bit of everything. And when I say a little bit of everything, I mean a little bit of everything. Normally we are poo-pooing life estate deeds.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, would you like to explain to the audience what a life estate deed is to begin with?
Sure, no problem. So like you said, we're normally not doing them, but they do have their place in some scenarios. A life estate deed is a somewhat simple version way to avoid probate. One, for real estate, when you pass away, right, make it pass automatically to wherever you want it to, and also provide some asset protection features if you need some kind of long-term care in the future.
Right? It checks a lot of boxes.
It does check a lot of boxes. There's a lot of pitfalls, which is why we often don't recommend it, but in some scenarios we do. So, for example, say I am a sole surviving spouse, or even if it's me and my spouse still alive and I have two kids, let's say.
Let me give you an example.
Okay, go ahead.
What if you are a single male in your upper 80s, you have two grown boys, everyone's doing great. You just have a house.
This is what the experience that you
this
went
through. This is exactly what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I assume that he wants the house to go to, let's say, either one or both of the boys.
Yeah. So the notes on the appointment, he said, I want to put my house in a trust. That's literally the nice to meet you. I want to put my house in a trust. That's sure. how it started. And I said, well, we could obviously do that. And then, but let's talk. And we talked and got the full picture. And in this kind of scenario for this gentleman, his largest asset, the house.
Yeah.
His next largest asset is like retirement and slash pension.
Mm-hmm.
So retirement benefits in general. And then he's got a little bit of money in the bank.
Okay.
And he can pay for his life with his pension and his Social Security. He's not accumulating money. He's not losing money. He's just, you know.
Okay.
It is what it is. His life is his life. You know, we're not planning trips to Disney for him or anything like that. He's not, no big expenses.
Right.
Right. So for him, it's just really, when it comes down to it, just this house. I said, well, how's your health? Are you planning on living here forever? You know, and so on. Certainly, he'd like to protect the value of the house. He'd like to avoid probate. And he obviously wants to make sure it goes to his two boys.
Yeah.
And we talked about trusts. And I said, we certainly can do a trust, but there happens to be a cheaper option. And my spidey senses, Phil, were saying, I think this gentleman is looking for the maybe the less expensive way of doing things, even though there are pitfalls to that life estate deed you were talking about.
He might not be concerned about as concerned about those pitfalls in his scenario, right?
Yeah. So the big pitfall, for everyone out there, is that you do not control your home after you do a life estate deed. If you wanted to sell it, you cannot make it be sold by yourself. You need the people you gave your house to. It's literally a deed from you to other people. In this case, it's a deed from this gentleman to his two boys. And inside the deed, there's language that says dad reserves the right to live here.
Right.
And he's paying all the bills and et cetera, et cetera. It's called a life estate.
He can live there rent free. No one can kick him out. He's still going to be entitled to, say, property and school tax exemptions, right? So for the most part, while he's living there, nothing changes in his world.
Right. So it checks off the box of avoiding probate, because technically the owner tomorrow, right, after I do the deed, is the kids,
right,
subject to the life use. Because he can't by himself sell it, in the eyes of Medicaid, we're getting these clocks ticking, the five-year lookbacks and so on.
Right.
And it's going to the boys. So, you know, goes to the right people, avoids probate, protects money. Check, check, check. Right.
Yep.
Why don't we do this all the time? Well, because we like our clients to control the assets. And when you're the creator of a trust, because you can remove trustees and replace them, you can change your beneficiaries, you're not stuck.
You're still in control. And you mentioned the scenario of, hey, if you wanted to sell and one of the boys won't sign, you can't, right? Different version of that. Say there's a falling out with one of the boys and you want that son off the deed. You can't unilaterally remove him without his permission.
Absolutely not.
Loss of control, right?
And when you're in your, you know, upper 80s these days, you probably got married at, you know, a younger age than we do these days. So how old do you think his kids are? So one of them's about to be 60.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, if just long term here, I don't like life estate deeds, because if bad things happen to your kids, it affects this house.
Right.
You want your grandkids to be co-owners with you if, God forbid, something happened to one of your kids.
Sure.
Because that's what's going to happen. And, you know, the longer or the younger someone is, the longer they have to go, the less appealing a life estate would be, because I need you to control everything. But, oh, by the way, if you ever move one day, if this gentleman ever wants to sell his house and the kids agree, Phil.
Yeah.
Twofold problem.
Yep.
More money goes to the kids than goes back to dad because of who owns what technically.
Right. So there's a capital gain tax issue there.
And I want all the money to go back to dad, right? I want him to control his life.
Yeah.
On the other side, in some instances, we're selling it because dad needs a nursing home. I don't want dad to get any money back at all. And he's going to get that little life estate value back.
And it's not always so little. So, you know,
little as a percentage, perhaps.
But it could be a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah, because where you're going with that, if you have this life estate and it's for protection purposes, but if the house is sold during the person's life, Medicaid has these tables and these calculations that give a value to that life estate. So he has to receive a good chunk of the money from that sale. And if that's a scenario that you just mentioned, he's in a facility at that time, that's going to be money that's not protected. Whereas if it was in a trust, the full amount would be payable to the trust. It would all be protected.
Yeah. And so in this instance, because of the move-in parts and because, again, I think his wallet needed a little bit of relief in terms of the cost of the plan, we're doing a life estate deed as the main thing that's going to move that house. With it, still a will, power of attorney, healthcare proxy, and we're going to cross our fingers.
Yeah, listen, it's very, very likely and possible that everything does work out.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they don't sell the house while he's alive. Even if he needs nursing home care and it's more than 5 years, it'll be protected. And
oh, by the way, yeah, there's nothing else he would be putting into a trust.
Just
like money.
Just the house, right.
So it's age, it's that, it's, you know, how simple the estate plan is, how old is everyone, how's everyone doing. And there's times where that type of deed may work. And I kind of love it when people come in saying they need something. And it turns out that there's another version of things that checks off the boxes they care about. And, you know, a lot of times you're having conversations with people where you're asking them, what are you trying to accomplish?
Right.
I want to take money out of my trust. Well, what are you trying to do with the money? What's the plan? Because if they say, well, we're going to, you know, expand the kitchen, you're going to say, well, you don't have to take it out of the trust. You know?
Whenever I have a client that comes in with the comment, like what you just mentioned, they know what they want. They come and they say, I want a trust, right? So usually what I do in that conversation is I ask them why.
Yeah.
Like, let them say in their own words why they have these, you know, preconceived, you know, expectations of what they need.
And they're likely to be right in terms of what's needed.
In a sense, right? They kind of know the goals and what they're trying to achieve. But is that vehicle the correct thing for them in their situation? I mean, that's where you get into talking about all that, those background things you mentioned, age, the other assets, how much they have, their lifestyle, their relationship with their family, who they're adding to this potential deed. Those are all important factors.
Yeah. And it's that conversation you have with people and the getting to the bottom of things. And that's why I like having the conversations about family at the outset and getting a sense of the lay of the land. You could tell a lot by asking people, well, you know, how many kids, tell me about your family.
Oh, yeah.
How many kids do you have?
I mean, yeah, it's funny, right? So, well, it's fun on our part. It seems like we're having normal conversations, which we are. I mean, a lot of it is building a rapport with the client, but in the background, they're, you know, our minds are thinking, all right, that because of what they said, this might not be appropriate. They might not need this. I see a red flag here. It's all important.
So I say, how many kids do you have? You know, do you guys have any kids? Yeah, how many? Three. Everyone's doing great? Well, no, they're doing okay.
Yeah. What's your religion like with the kids? You talk to them a lot.
But it might be, well, one's doing great job, but, you know, we don't love the daughter-in-law that much. It might be, well, I think, you know, he's not as mature as his sibling. But you could tell a lot from their reactions and so on.
And even some of the bigger issues that you would assume people would think to bring up on their own, you can't assume that. Like, I've had cases where we'll be talking about the kids and, you know, usually at some point I'll ask while we're going through the conversation, you know, anyone we're talking about have, you know, disabilities or special needs? And sometimes they're like, oh yeah, my child is, you know, has severe disabilities. I'm like, well, that were you going to bring that up?
I want everything to go to my grandchildren, which was another one of the ones from yesterday. I want everything to go to our grandchildren. Turns out our grandchildren aren't all our grandchildren because of second relationships and so on. So,
and they might not understand the legal meaning of those words, which is why it's important.
I want everything to go to my 10 grandkids. 8 of them are technically not her grandkids.
Right. And if we wrote that word grandchildren and they didn't include the names, that's not going to achieve what she wanted to.
Yeah.
It's all important.
John, Gabriel, every year, all year, you help us out so much. You are...
Well,
amazing.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I enjoy being here with you guys every week. And
what kind of holiday plans do you have going on?
Oh, busy, usual. You know, a lot of family stuff.
Coming in, or are you going?
Well, we stay here.
Oh, good for you.
You know, it's it'll be nice. It's always nice. It's great. Family. It's what it's all about.
Good food.
For me, anyway.
And what is your favorite Christmas song? I don't think we ever got to the bottom of
my favorite Christmas.
Yeah, your favorite
song.
Christmas song.
Oh, song. Oh, wow. That's
tough.
Tell
me what year was your favorite Christmas, John?
Which one? I have too many favorite Christmas songs. It's hard to. It's like asking me what my favorite song is. Period, and I couldn't give you an answer.
You don't have one of the top five that you'd go to immediately?
Not really, no, because there's so many in my head. You got to remember, I do this for a living, so it just...
You hear a lot of songs every day.
I hear a lot of them, and a lot of them I like, most of them I like.
I guess it's like asking us what our favorite kind of trust provision is. It's like, oh, I love
them. How exciting.
They're so great.
Your favorite trust provision. Mm.
Oh, well, it's that time.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. Have a great holiday.
Happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.